1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, here we go. Yet, this is Paul writing to a church in Corinth. He goes, yet when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. Verse 7. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God, his plan that was previously hidden, even though he made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Verse 8. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. But if they had, they would not have crucified our glorious Lord. Verse 9. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. How awesome is that? You're like, aren't we going to hear about Jesus rising from the dead? We'll get there. We're going to cover Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday with this passage. Because when we look at it, Paul writes to the book, to the church in Corinth, and says, when I approach mature people, believers, I talk in wisdom. I talk as if I have wisdom. And he goes, I don't talk as the world's wisdom, but I'm going to talk to you about in God's wisdom. Did you know there's a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom? Have you ever trusted in your own wisdom and you found out that it's not good? I have way too many times. Or now you have, I got this plan all worked out. By the time I hit 25, I'm going to be a millionaire. And you're leaning on your own understanding and your own way. And God's up there, he kind of laughs. He goes, you have no clue what's in store for you. And so the thing about, there is a difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. And we have to know the difference. So when Paul would talk to the people of the world, he's talking to people who are immature in Christ, or immature those things. And so the thing about it, Paul says, when I talk to mature people, I talk to them differently. So the thing about it, to explain the things of Christ, you have to explain it differently for those who don't know Jesus compared to those who might know Jesus for a long time. You can have different type of discussions and talk about different things. And so the thing about it, there's wisdom all around us. How many of you ever truly thought your ideal was really good? I mean, it was like, wow, it's going to be great. And then you turn out, you try it, and you're like, oh, snap. Oh, stink. Oh, man. This is not working out the way I want it to work out. But you never prayed about it. You never sought God about it. You never really put God in the equation. He just said, all right, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to do it. You don't know how many ideals pop in my head, of course, of the lifetime that I had. I'm like, oh, that would be a cool idea. One of the coolest ideals I think would be cool. You know how they used to have these sunshades that you put on your windshield to keep the sun from coming into your car when it's parked out in the parking lot and stuff? Wouldn't it be cool when you turn off your car, you hit a button and a shade would come up from the thing or come down and block out the sun? I think that would be a great idea. And I thought, man, I'm going to invent this. Figure out I'm not an inventor either. And so the thing about it, there's still opportunity for somebody like Pastor Frank to invent that, to put in cars that when you start it, it goes down. And now you can see, and then the car is not that hot. How awesome would that be? And so I leaned in my own understanding. I don't know how mechanical stuff work. I love taking things apart. But putting them back together, I have leftover parts. I do. Having leftover parts for mechanical things, it's not really a good thing. I actually follow the directions when I have to put something together. I don't. I'm admitting I'm a flaw of a guy. I'm not supposed to have directions when I put things together. But I lean into it because my wisdom of how to put this thing together is useless. Now, and so the wisdom of man is opposite of the wisdom of God. Right? Man's wisdom is foolishness to God. And you think about it, God actually laughs at plans that some people who think they're wise have put together. God goes, oh, I got better plans than that. How many of you had a plan and you scrapped that plan for a better plan? And it worked out great. I've done that many times. And so the thing about it, there is wisdom from God. But where does wisdom begin? Right. But it comes from the fear of God. It says wisdom begins with fearing God. Oh, you mean we have to walk around trembling? No. Fear of God means you honor, you reverend, you delight yourself in that. That's you're not afraid of messing up, per se. But the fear of like saying, God, I love you so much. Help me out in this area. Has anybody ever done something a little crazy for God? And people look at you like, what are you thinking? I've had that happen way many times. I go, God told me to do this. Are you sure you heard from God, Pastor? Or better yet, are you sure you heard from God, Dad? Or husband, are you sure, Roy, that you heard from God? I'm doing it anyways. Running 30 miles. I signed up last night. I can't back out. So here we go. It doesn't sound like a smart thing to do when you're 50 plus to run 30 miles all at once. But I'm not after man's wisdom. I'm after God's wisdom. See, God, man's wisdom say, hey, you know, they have a 5K. You can do that. Why? Why do something I can do with no problem? With my eyes closed if I have a guide. See, man's wisdom would say, oh, pipe down. You're getting too excited for God. You're getting too crazy. You have too much faith. You have hyper faith. Where does it say in the Bible where God says, calm down, you have too much faith? No, it says, have more faith. I want hyper faith. I want so much faith that people say, are you sure? This is way out there. Yes, that's where God is at. See, man's wisdom will tell you to pull back while giving. Yeah, it's okay to give to the church. But 10%, Pastor? That's kind of crazy. Oh, you want to go down and do these things? See, man's wisdom will tell you there's limits. Man's wisdom will tell you there's limits around you. But God will say, I'll look at those limits and I will remove those limits and you walk with me and you'll walk in wisdom of my wisdom, not man's wisdom. There's things I know I can't do because God hasn't told me to do them. But when God tells me to do something, let's go do it. And you lean into God and not man's understanding. See, man's understanding will actually pull you back to safety. Safety is a really boring place to be. Safety will kill you. Lazy boy chairs, there's a reason why they're called lazy boys or lazy girls. Whatever you want to call it. There's a reason why they're called lazy boys or lazy girls. There's a reason why. Because they make you lazy. Man's wisdom will always pull you back and make you lazy. But God's wisdom will always grow your faith, will always push you to the next level. God's wisdom will always do that. You're like, oh, so Pastor, this is Easter. When are you going to get to this Easter the resurrection story. We'll get there. But we first need to lay down what Paul's talking about wisdom. There's a different form of religion. And guess what? When people look at you walking in God's wisdom, they will start making fun of you. They will start mocking you. Did God really say that? They'll start mocking. You ever hear that voice in your head? God tells you to pray and fast all week. God won't do that. Just do. You don't have to fast. The Spirit will mock this lack of the man's wisdom will always mock what God wants you to do. Jesus in the garden. In the wilderness. He's out there for 40 days. At the end of it, or during it, Satan shows up. I never saw Satan. I don't know what he looks like. I saw a representation of him. But the thing about it, he shows up and he starts mocking Jesus. He goes, "Hey, Jesus, if you really are who you say you are," mocking Jesus. How about when Noah built the boat? You ever build a boat when it's never rained before? How silly. You think about it, it took him 120 years or so to build this boat. You think about it, after a year, you're thinking like, "Lord, are you sure?" But the world is saying, "It's not going to rain. Why are you doing that? You're crazy." You think about it. But his testimony to the people was, "I'm going to be obedient to building this boat because God told me to." And he had a blueprint to do it. And he built it day after day, week after week, month after month. He didn't have to worry about the rain. He didn't have to worry about snow. He just continued to build it day after day. Could you imagine God's giving you a promise or a job to do and it's going to take you 120 years to fulfill it? Would you be faithful showing up day in and day out? Friday morning, it was cold at the track. It was cold out. I had two or three layers on top. I had a couple layers on the bottom for sweatpants. And I was out there running, doing my wind sprints, but my hands were cold. I'm like, "Lord, if you did not call me to do this, you did not tell me to, this is stupid to run out here. It's 30 degrees. It's Good Friday. I want to be home in my bed tucked in." But wisdom of the world would say, "Oh, take the day off. You know, it's cold. Or it's a holiday." Man, see, here's Paul's talking about that. But now, he goes on, he goes, here we go. Goes, verse 7. "No, the wisdom we speak is the mystery of God." Okay, what's the mystery of God? Paul's going to tell us what the mystery of God is. Because this is the mystery. This mystery of God has been around for a long time. And this is what Paul says the mystery of God is. Here we go. It goes, "No, the wisdom we speak is the mystery of God." So this is the wisdom that his plan, whose plan? God's plan, that was previously hidden. So God has a plan that was previously hidden. So in other words, this plan has now been shown. So what's the plan? I'm glad you asked. Thank you. Now we can tell you. Even though he made it for our ultimate glory, his plan is for our ultimate glory. But what is his plan? Before the world began. Oh, okay. So his plan was before the world began for my ultimate glory. So what's his plan, Pastor? Tell me. I'm getting anxious. I don't know what his plan. Here's his plan. This is planned for everyone in the world. All right. And the thing about it, Paul is now is showing it. Here it is. It goes, begin. But, just tell us what it is. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. What's the plan? Rulers of this, if they had, they would never have crucified the glorious Lord. His plan was for Jesus to come and die and rise again for your sins. His plan was already taking place before the first word was spoken. His plan, before the foundations of the world, this is his plan. This is the wisdom. This is the wisdom of God. That he goes, Jesus goes, Father, I know they're going to sin. They'll need a Savior. Send me. I'll go. That was his plan before the first word was spoken. That's the wisdom of God. That he knew that in 2026, April 5th, on this day, we'd be gathering to celebrate the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who conquered death and hell, and who conquered the grave, who overcame, who conquered your sin, who conquered your guilt, who God conquered it all. And he's like, here I am. That's the wisdom of God. That before anything took place, God already had a plan. That's the plan. And he goes, if the people who crucified Jesus knew what they were doing, they would never done it. You think about it. And it says, I want to make sure I get my wording correctly. It goes, that the rulers of this world, what rulers? The physical rulers and the spiritual rulers. Did you know, if you knew how your life would plan out, most of us would have aborted it. Like, oh no, I don't want to go through that, Lord. There's things I've gone through. If I knew I had to go through it, I'd say, no, thank you. But he only gave me so much of the plan at a time. And so when he revealed this plan, now this is where we're at. So what did they do when they crucified Christ? From the, we'll say Thursday, when he was in the upper room celebrating the celebration of Passover with the bread, with the lamb, with the meat, with his friends, with his people, they started mocking Jesus. This is where I want to go. There's been a spirit since the beginning of time about mocking the word of God. Adam and Eve had to deal with it. Because the devil came and says, really? Did God say that? God didn't really say that, did he? Mocking God's word. They're still mocking God's word. They're still mocking what God said. You ever read this word? You ever read this? And say, I don't know if I believe it. You ever say that before? I have. Because Lord, if this is true, what's that?
I used to. Not really.
But the thing about it, you get to a point and say, God, if this is true, I want it all. If you said that you can raise people from the dead, I want to see that. Now, if they're 95, I don't know if they want to come back or not. We'll have to ask them. But most people, after a certain age, I already told my kids, don't pray for me after I die because I'm enjoying heaven. Leave me be. Now, five-year-olds, they got a whole life. Let's keep praying for them. But what it says in here, does it really apply to my life? Yeah, it does. See, you either going to mock this thing, the word of God, or you're going to accept it all. Well, I accept some. No. You can't just accept. It's me like having instructions. I only accept part of the instructions. It's like you're baking a cake. I accept part of it besides the flour. I don't need that. Or you're making chocolate chip cookies. I'll just leave out the chocolate chips. I don't need those in there.
What?
I'd be like going to a buffet without having the ice cream bar open. Like you go to the pizza ranch and the ice cream machine's shut down. That's ungodly. That place should be shut down. But that's like only accepting part of God's word. I accept part of it, but not all of it. Well, I don't get it all. How many of you understand every bits and parts of this Bible? I have no clue. I'm reading through the book of Revelation, and I read across a verse. I was like, where did this come from? I've read through this many times. And it's like, what? Make sure you have clothes so you don't be naked? I'm like, what? It says something along those lines in chapter 15. Ish. 15 or 16. I think 16, 15. Yeah, out of the blue. He's talking about all these kings and all of a sudden he goes, this is Jesus speaking. I'm coming back soon. And make sure you have clothes and extra clothes. Okay. I don't get it. I don't. Oh, I know. Hey, I got a wardrobe of clothes. But they were mocking Jesus. The spirit mockery has been around. And it showed up his last 48 hours of his life. 24 hours. Showed up when he was in the garden. I don't know. The six trials he went through. All mockery. Shams. Just force. It wasn't... They were illegal trials. Mocking the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then, one of the last times we read about, they're putting a crown of thorns on his head, putting a fake robe on him that came from the king at that time, the Roman ruler. And they were bowing down to, oh, they're mocking his authority. The mocking spirit. They were mocking Jesus the day he was being crucified because they thought they had him cornered. See, the mocking spirit will show up. When does it show up? When it thinks it got you cornered. And so, the thing about it, they whipped him. I mean, he was unrecognizable. You ever see somebody get in a fight and you're like, oh, man, you need some help. But yet you can still recognize him? Guess what? Jesus was unrecognizable. They pulled out his beard, mocking him all the way. And then they go, oh, yeah, by the way, you have to carry your own punishment, your own killing device. You have to carry your cross. Mocking him. This crowd runs on saying, Jesus is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To less than a week later, said, we crucify you. We want this guy named Barabbas. And then, he couldn't carry it any longer, so they threw another guy to carry the rest of it. And then he's getting him up on the cross. And they're still mocking Jesus. They were mocking Jesus all the way. And they looked at Jesus. And they go, oh, by the way, Jesus, if you can save these people, why don't you just get off the cross and save yourself? He couldn't. He was bearing all of our sins of the world. And he knew he had to save you and save me. And so the thing about it, they were mocking him. Oh, if you could. And they put him in the center stage out there. This one in the middle. And people would walk by and say, wow, that's Jesus. Ha, 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 look at him. He says he's the Messiah. He says this. He says. They were mocking him. And the thing about it, they took some dice. You think gambling is a new invention? No, it's been around for a long time. They were gambling for his clothes. You think about it. His only possession was his robe, his cloth. And they're going, we want that. They're gambling for it. And so, yes, sir.
Was it the Romans or the Hebrews who killed?
Both.
Yeah.
Doesn't it say in the Bible that doesn't God say protect the Jews?
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
But yet they still crucified.
Yeah.
It's both. And so, yeah. But they're all mocking him. Even the Jewish leaders were mocking him. Because Herod put up on the sign, King of the Jews, in all different languages. And they come on, oh no, we don't accept that. He says that. Mocking what they put on top of him. Mockery. And then he dies. And then they stab him in the side and out comes blood and water. More mockery. We're getting to a point. And so, but the thing about it, they still mocked Jesus after he died. You know why? Because they knew Jesus talked about, if you kill this body, I'm going to rise in 3 days. What a statement. Have you ever told somebody, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back in 3 days? What they're going to do? They're going to do everything to keep you from hitting them, right? And so what they did, they're mocking what Jesus said. So they go, well, you know something? Man's wisdom, this is man's wisdom. We'll put a big old stone in front of it. A big one. Not just one that covered a little bit. But man, we're going to roll this big stone in front of it. And not just that, we're not just going to roll the stone in front of it. We're going to seal it. And so if they need somebody to come out to unseal it, and they're going to take the body. And these disciples, once already gone, rest of them are scattered. They're not coming back. So, but just in case they decide to, we're going to seal them. And then on top of this, we're going to put some Roman guards in front of them. Mocking what Jesus said. Have you ever prayed for somebody or asked, hey, can I pray for you? And they're looking at you like, whatever. They're almost like mocking you. Yeah, your prayers won't work. You ever have people tell you to stop praying for them? Yeah. Because prayers work. And here's Jesus. A lot of people say, is it Silent Saturday? Oh, no. It's probably one of the most exciting days in history. I mean, we call it Good Friday because what Jesus did on the cross. That's the reason why it's good. It's a good, it should be called Great, Fantastic, Awesome Friday. Then they call it Silent Saturday, and then we call it Resurrection Sunday, where the tomb is exploding, the stones roll back, and then Jesus is not in there. Boom. But what takes place on Saturday is powerful as the other two of him dying on the cross, and as he raised from the dead, he goes down to hell and says, hey, bucko, give me the keys back. I'm taking them, and I conquered you. I conquered death. I conquered hell, and now we're going to live forever. And he took the keys and said, look at me. I guess just, you ever seen a janitor, how many keys they have? They're like the most important people because they can get any room you want to get into. Don't look for the president because he only has his key to his room. But look for the janitor. They're jingle, jingle, jingle. That's Jesus took the keys from every single place in hell and Hades and everywhere on earth and says, give me those keys. He ripped them off his belt, popped them in the nose and say, stay put. I'm going back. I'm conquered death and hell. I rose from the dead. And guess what? You can no longer mock me. And he kicked. I mean, you think about it. Chuck Norris just died and everybody had these memes. Because what? Jesus kicked that rock and the rock just exploded. And boom! Here he comes out of the grave. He's the champion, not the devil. You don't give him a foothold. He has no right in your life. That's the reason why we celebrate resurrection power. And the thing about it, the mocking spirit is still here today. Still in the church. Still in the land. Has anybody heard of? See if I can find it. Here we go. Has anybody heard of the three wise monkeys? The three wise monkeys. Anybody heard of them? I guarantee you all have, but you've probably never heard of them called this. The three wise monkeys. No? All right. The three wise monkeys. How about, have you ever heard of see no evil? Hear no evil? Speak no evil? Do you know where they come from? I'll give you a little history lesson. Because they're a mocking spirit. Those three always travel together. Guess what? Three means what? Try. It's mocking the Trinity of Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. The monkeys are always plump around the waistline. Just like Buddha. The three monkeys. And originally, they never put in evil with these three monkeys. It was always say, see nothing, say nothing, hear nothing. And then they put evil in there because they wanted, and because guess what? Somebody's evil will look differently than yours. I take my evil from what the Word of God says, not by the wind of life. And so here's the name of the, and then the thing about it, they were part of the 17th century, going all the way back to Japan and China. So these three monkeys actually have a name. They stand for something. And monkeys are worshipped in Japan as a god. And actually, they would set these three monkeys up to keep them keep things, evil things away. They were like their bodyguards, their good luck charms. They would put up these monkeys. Well, I'll get to why they were called mockery here in a moment. And they're actually, the monkeys were called demon quellers. They would quiet down the things that would be rebellious. So the first one is called, make sure I find it here. S-H-A-K-A. Shaka means enlightened one. The first monkey would have been called the enlightened one. See, the devil was coming along and says, God won't speak to you. See, God's the enlightened one. God's the only one that can enlighten you. See, a lot of times we'll do things like, well, I just want to be enlightened. You're setting yourself up for a mocking spirit of what God says is true. Second one is Y-A-K-U-S-H-I. Yakashi. That means master in healing, great king of healers, Lord who cures illness, physician of souls. Who's that? That's Jesus. The second one is mocking Jesus to the core. He's the only healer. Doctors are not healers. God is the ultimate healer. And we'll ultimately get our complete healing in heaven. We all know that. But here on earth, you can still pray for people's healing. And the spirit of mockery says, you can't do that. You don't have that gift. Jesus sent me out to do those things. He gave me authority. And so this mocking spirit will come and says, look what you're doing. You're making a mess of things. But you look at that thing and say, you be quiet. God called me to do this. The mocking spirit will always come as you make great leaps forward. It'll pull you back from carrying you out. The mocking spirit will say, this pastor has no clue what he's talking about. The mocking spirit says, don't trust a word he says because he's lenient wrong. The mocking spirit says, it'll never get better than what you already have. God is in the business of blessing. He wants to bless you. But sometimes we say things, we do things to curse ourselves. I mean, you're doing great, and all of a sudden you do something stupid and get pulled over by the police, and now you're more trouble. Well, that's God's fault. No, you just made some stupid decisions. God can help you out in that. But the mocking spirit says, God abandoned you. No, he doesn't abandon us. God says he's with us until the end of the age. As believers, he's never left me. He's always been right there with me. Even in my stupid decisions of eating a Cadbury egg. I didn't have any this year. Praise the Lord. Even though they look good, they are good. I just chose not to eat them. And the last one. AMIDA means limitless, light, and life, pure land, Lord. They're all three of them, this trinity of monkeys, are mocking the true trinity of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, the thing about it, on this Easter Resurrection Sunday, you can look at that thing. It says, my Jesus broke out of this little tomb. You can say, Jesus, I want to break out of my tomb. Jesus, I'm bound for the wrong place. I want to be bound for your glory. The great mystery is, why would he save a sinner like me? Guess what? I'm no longer a sinner. Well, pastor, I'm a saint. Well, the way Jesus sees, he doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as a saint. He sees me blood washed. He sees me holy. He sees me righteous. That's the way he sees me. And the mocking spirit will say, look how bad you mess things up. You look at that thing and says, get behind me. I'm moving forward because Jesus is with me. And more is in me in Christ than he's in the world. And the devil's not equal to you. He's under your feet as a believer. Everything. You have authority. All right.
So I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you've never given your life to Christ, today would be a great day. Or maybe you need prayer for something else. Maybe you've been dealing with things that have been holding you back. I want to encourage you this morning as we do one more song.